Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sorry, but I just put a new SD card in. We should be good, but I'm just going to wait until it actually says I'm recording because I'd rather... This says it's got no SD card either. Just give me 2 seconds there. Sorry about this. I should have done this while you were watching the thing, but I just didn't think that that would, do you know what I mean?
I had already watched it. I've actually watched it twice and I just felt I needed more to say about it. So I watched it again and took notes.
Yeah. So with this, you took notes. That's cool. Because I was watching it and I was like struggling to, because so much happened in the past two episodes and I feel like, and so it should be, it's kind of like it's an aftermath really. Episode after the, you know, the main funeral.
Do you want me to do a recap of the what happened in the episode, or do you want to do it?
I don't mind at all. Yeah, you could do the recap if you've watched it twice, mate. Like I've watched it and I've read a few articles on it as well. But the whole Che thing, just get now. I've put in 3 SD cards. It says no SD card. Just give me 1 second there, and I'm just gonna plug it out altogether. And we'll try.
The Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist Watchers and Just Like That, The Sex and the City Reheal, with me, Deborah Frances White, and my special guest, Alison Spittle. Episode 3, When in Rome. So, Alison Spittle, we're coming back to Sex and the City in its new formation. What is your history with Sex and the City?
So my history with Sex and the City, I was a child when it first came out, and I was really, really scandalized by the name itself. And I knew that my mum used to watch it. My mum used to watch it loads for the first few series. And then I got my own television and I'd go upstairs and watch Sex and the City on my own, not around my mum, because I have a weird relationship with sex anyway. And I was just, because I knew I was going to go on this podcast, I was kind of like thinking about my relationship with my mum and television and sex and stuff like that. And we used to, we've got Sky when we were young for a few months, and we watched this TV show called Weeds, which is really good. But there's one of the first scenes is this woman mourning her husband, and she thinks about having sex with him. And I went to my mum, that's disgusting. He's dead. He shouldn't be thinking about her that way. And then she turned around to me and she was like, but he's her husband. Like, why should she not mourn that aspect of their life? And I realized that I was incredibly immature about relationships and had no idea about so much. And I kind of didn't consider that my mum would have an idea about that. And I kind of like definitely changed my relationship with her. And I respected her loads more. I know it's weird, but it's just strange to have a conversation with your mum about sex and sexuality, which doesn't start off with you being very embarrassed and her going, well, when a person and a person falls in love, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And to have like a frank conversation. And then in college, it was still, so I kind of like, I was a child when it first started, and then I was a teenager. So it kind of was definitely the first port of call for sex education. Like that and the Graham Norton show when it was on Channel 4 for 5 days a week. Genuinely, and because because I was a big frigid when I was a teenager, sexuality and sex was something that existed on the television, and it was something that I found quite like glamorous, but like could not compute that that would be with me in any way. So I watched it, but it was almost like watching sci-fi in a way. It was just kind of like enjoying their adventures and never ever like picturing myself in that situation in any way at all. And I don't like, I'm so jealous of the ability to have brunch with four women. Do you know what, you know, that type of thing? Like
yeah.
That was incredibly glamorous to me as a teenager to go and to have brunch with your friends and to talk about your issues and stuff and not have this kind of like whispering on the back of a bus. Or, you know, I always saw myself as a Miranda because I was quite a minder of my friends. Like, but I never really saw her success and determination as a part of me. So it's very kind of, I think spiritually I'm a Samantha, but not sexually, if you get me.
I do.
Because Samantha's the kindest out of them all. She's the most unjudgmental, I think. And they're all great in their aspects, but like I miss Samantha. And like whatever's happened with this series, I miss it. Miss her. Because I feel
she was shame-free and judgment-free, wasn't she? Which is a great appeal.
It was a joy. It was a joy. And I feel like no matter what you did, there was always a solution or whatever. Like Miranda's amazing with what she offers in regards to help, and you know, she's funny and she's a great friend. And Charlotte just feels everything, and I think we're seeing it throughout like this episode that we've seen now, and how that kind of, it's very nice to have someone that's like emotionally open, but you can be a good friend and not be a good friend in some situations, and that's fine.
I suspect all a good friend but not a good friend in some situations.
Yeah, we can't be an all-rounder. Because it's Sex and the City, like, if there was an all-rounder, there'd be no TV show, you know, with Sex and the City, with all these four women, because no one has the four great attributes of these women. Like, no one's perfect. And I think that's kind of what I like about this series. It's not perfect, but it's trying, and it's just going to continue. And I really like being on this journey. It's the first time that I've looked forward to a Sex and the City show that I've, like, grown up, and because I rewatched bits, you know, people have the big DVD set, and it's a way of bonding with people, and I've kind of always taken in Sex and the City so sporadically before, and this is like event television now that I'm excited about, and that's how I feel about it.
A lot of people felt, including me, that episodes 1 and 2. We're not in the spirit of the original Sex and the City. And we know the whole point is they've moved on. It's got a different name. But it felt to me like Miranda was a totally different character, like stumbling over her apologetic wokeness. And I was like, if Miranda was going out to engage with a Muslim ban as a lawyer in 2017, she'd know all this stuff by now. She'd be there. She'd be comfortable in herself. And I found that some of it very, very difficult. But I feel like this episode is a return to form a little bit. I feel like it felt much more like an old school Sex and the City episode. Did you feel that? Did you feel they'd found their stride a bit and stopped apologising so much?
Yeah, well, I think like the first two episodes required like there was a lot of stuff to show us. And now we're kind of getting into the characterization and relationships between the women and between everyone. Kind of like there wasn't that much plot in this. It was more kind of staying with the characters themselves. I mean, the big thing is like the return of Natasha. And when I was a kid and I watched Sex and the City, I hated Natasha.
Did you?
I despised her. Yeah. Because
it wasn't Natasha's fault, though.
No, it totally wasn't. And it's just because I was a teenager and you know, it's strange watching it as an adult with actual life experience now. And I feel like my mum watching it, you know?
Yeah.
Like I watched Sex and the City with, a 13-year-old unrequited love type of thing where I would watch Phantom of the Opera and think, yeah, the Phantom's a good guy. Why doesn't she be with the Phantom? Even though now I look at it now and I'm like, the Phantom's a murderer and he's very weird and he's stalking her. But before I used to look at that like it was romantic. And with Natasha, and because I was so
she
young.
She seemed like a stumbling block to carry.
Yeah, and I didn't see her as a young woman because I was younger than her, you know. And now I see, like, you know, you look back at like poor Natasha meeting Big. I mean, like, I know we don't have to speak ill. It's not nice to speak ill of the dead, but it was kind of great for this episode. It's like that line at the funeral. You remember that he was a prick, you know?
Yeah.
And it's coming back here.
He absolutely was. Oh, well, I should probably do a quick recap.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you have not watched this episode of And Just Like That and you don't want spoilers, pause it, go watch it and come back to us. So in this episode, Carrie is dealing with the grief by continuing her podcast, washing her hair, getting up, still looking fabulous in fashion, but she can't eat or sleep and she tends to walk for miles a day and walking is the only thing in ludicrous heels, which she calls her sneakers, lol, is the only thing that can make her feel better. And even that's not doing much. Mm. Anyway, she goes to the will reading, coping very well, she's planned a lunch afterwards, self-care with her closest friends, absolutely. On plan to make sure she's not alone after the will reading.
And isn't it great Miranda is there? Like, she's such a good lawyer friend. She's always there.
If there's a contract, Miranda will be in the room. I'm telling you, that's been throughout the whole, every divorce, every prenup, every, I don't know what kind of lawyer she is, but she knows about every sort of contract. And so she's there doing the will reading and he's given X amount to a jazz club in New Orleans and to the public theater and et cetera. And then the next page, nobody wants to say what it is. And by nobody, for some reason that's never really explained, the lawyer who's reading the will, he's had a fight with his wife. So he's had to go off and take a loud, fighty phone call. So it's left to Miranda and Big's secretary, who prefers to be called a secretary, we learned in episode 2, I think, Gloria. Now, we're being presented with Gloria as if we always knew Gloria, that she's being presented as this character of, you know, Gloria, big secretary. She's been around forever. And that's how it's been. We never met Gloria. Gloria's new, but it's being presented as Gloria's been around for, like, hoping we'll forget that there was no Gloria. I'm pretty sure that's how it's being presented to us. So it's Gloria and Miranda, because this lawyer is, who we don't know and don't care about, is being called away, breaks the news to Carrie that Big has left $1 million, to Natasha Nijinsky, who is, of course, his ex-wife. That marriage broke up because he and Carrie had an affair. This throws Carrie into a spin, and the rest of the episode is about her angsting about why he would have done this, and was he in touch with her? Did he love her more? Or did he always think it was a mistake to leave her and marry Carrie, et cetera, et cetera. So there's this anxiety and I think neurosis that we fondly remember Carrie for, I guess, the way that she used to angst. It evoked for me an episode, a very early episode of Sex and the City, which the theme was the circus freak show. And there's a sort of freak in all of us and she meets this perfect guy who seems perfect, and she decides there must be something wrong with him. And while he goes out to play his Sunday morning soccer game, she goes through his whole flat looking for things to prove that he's an inverted commas a freak. Something's wrong with him. And she jimmies open a box that inside just has his, I think it's his Boy Scout cards or something very, very innocent. And he comes back and sees her doing it. And then she realizes she's the inverted commas circus freak. That episode is evoked in this episode because she goes through all of big stuff. And finally, she finds her evidence in a box that looks exactly like that box.
Wow.
Yes.
So they were doing a direct kind of...
I think so. Well, if I see it, I can't help but think that they must see it.
Yeah.
And so what she finds, and again, it's an innocent thing. It's a photograph of a dog called Gogi. And I think it has the year 1965 written on it. So Big would have been a teenager at the time, a kid.
Yeah.
And so it's his childhood dog, but it's in his wallet, which he left inside this wooden box, gentleman's box that has cufflinks and other things like that in it. She's like, he's walking around with that in the with his dog called Gogi. He's never mentioned the dog called Gogi, and a Pinkberry punch card. Lol. I never saw him eat Pinkberry. I never saw him use a punch card. How do I not know this man? If I don't know those things, maybe there's other things I don't know, like he was secretly seeing Natasha or secretly loved her.
Do you think, like, every company associated now with Big is like, ooh, like because of his heart attack. They're like, we didn't cause his heart attack. So it's not Peloton and it's not Pinkberry.
This week, Pinkberry release a statement. You cannot have a heart attack because of eating Pinkberry. And then she stresses. She's trying to hunt down Natasha. She wants Natasha to speak with her. So she emails her. She Instagrams her. Natasha blocks her on Instagram. So she turns up at her work. She knows that she's there, but her assistant comes out and says she's in Rome. Mm. She knows it's a lie. And then she sees her through the window. So Natasha knows she's been caught in a lie. But Carrie says, yes, but I was caught in the truth. And it is then that she accidentally, which is a little bit of a coinkydink, walks in on her in a public loo, spilling coffee over herself and scolding herself. And that's the thing that makes Natasha sit and finally talk to her and give her the reassurance that she wanted, which is to say, I don't know why he married me when he was in love with you. He was a mystery. I don't know why he gave me that money. I haven't spoken to him since the divorce. And Carrie says, well, I think he was trying to say sorry. He was a finance guy. He wasn't good with words.
Yeah.
And that feels resolved. On Miranda's front, she is more and more falling in love with Che, who is the non-binary stand-up comic who Carrie is working with, and has a moment that is a sort of like a kiss when Che blows marijuana smoke into her mouth, touching lips, known in America as a shotgun. And Charlotte's younger daughter says, I don't want to be called a girl anymore, which was hinted at in episodes 1 and 2. And Charlotte deals with that with love. And that's my, and just like that, episode 3, a recap. So what were your feelings about this episode? Did this live up to your expectations? Were you disappointed with anything?
I kind of want to skip this part. Like, they have to go through this part where Carrie's going to mourn Big, and it's kind of cool they brought Natasha back. But I kind of want to skip to the part where, like, Carrie's going to get shagged or whatever. Like, I'm just ready for the sex part of the city now, which I don't know says about me and my kind of... but, you know, I hope that the whole series is not going to be her mourning Big. I know it probably will have to be, but I'm kind of over Big now at this stage. I cried when Big died, but I really, really want to see kind of Carrie get out there.
I thought they were going to jump in time. I thought they were going to say 6 months later so that we could understand she'd had a period of mourning, or even 1 year later. I'm quite surprised they've not skipped in time, because you're right, we're not tuning in to see someone mourning.
No.
That's Sex and the City. We're tuning in to see sex and cocktails and outfits.
Yes.
But I think they're getting there very quickly, because the fact that she's still functionally getting up and doing her job and not just lying in bed crying, they're trying to move her quickly. Now, Sarah Baron pointed out to me last week that there's a flirtation, a very mild flirtation between her and the producer, who's a handsome middle-aged man who she keeps looking at through the glass in the podcast. And this week he agreed with her on something. She said she was triggered by the city bus. And he said, I agree with you, Carrie. And he's just this shadowy, handsome figure at the moment. My prediction is next episode, those two are going to hook up. And she's going to experience what it is to, for the first time, have sex post being widowed.
Yeah.
And that's why I really do hope they jump in time a little bit, because it seems a little implausible that weeks later she's going to jump into bed with somebody else.
Yeah, but I don't know if that happened, because you got the kind of storylines involving Miranda, and whatever's going to happen there, I feel like she's going to jump in with both legs quite quickly. Like, yes. That feels like the train is really on the track there. And to find out that her and Steve haven't had sex in years made me so sad.
Yeah, I think that relationship really looks very wound down. They don't seem to be having any fun. And he seems very elderly in the way they're presenting him at the moment. And Steve was always very young. He had a very young spirit. He was younger, I think, in years than Miranda. The whole point was he was a boy. He was young and she was grown up. And he seems to have aged way past her.
Yeah, and Steve was my favorite of the men.
Like, yeah.
Of Sex and the City. I always wanted a Steve. I just thought Steve was so emotionally, way more emotionally mature than Miranda, and had so much to kind of offer. I know she saw him as a boy because of like his job and stuff like that, but like he just seemed so at peace with himself and who he was, which I think is like actual maturity.
He's a little too at peace now though, isn't he? He doesn't get off the sofa.
And they've given him like a hearing problem.
Which might be disability representation, or it might be that the actor has lost some hearing. I don't know. I don't know where it's going, except to say that she is clearly going to need to have an open relationship or leave him for Che.
She's going to get railed by Che. She's getting a one-way ticket to a railing. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Okay, thank you. Che's stand-up discuss, the podcast on stand-up, these things are so hard to get right.
Yes.
Because stand-up on television never seems like real stand-up. And podcasts, we haven't seen too many of those represented yet. But how do you feel as a podcaster, and you've been podcasting for years and so have I, how do you feel watching that podcast?
I feel very much for Carrie, and I don't know why. I think maybe I've had a few brushes in the past of doing podcasts and kind of maybe getting feedback to say that I, like, you know, that people don't like my attitude towards sex and porn and stuff like that. And I feel very defensive of Carrie, and in a way, and I think it's like just triggering me or whatever and it's also me thinking about my relationship with podcasting. Like, I am quite an open and honest person, I feel. And a lot of my comedy, or a lot of what I talk about, I kind of don't really think about in regards to privacy or, you know, what I am. Because I forget that podcasts is, you know, a medium where you're representing yourself to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I meet some people who've heard me on a podcast and go, oh, how's this person? I'm like, how do you know that in my head? And I'm like, because I talk about it all the time on everything. And it's very, very interesting to watch Carrie, you know, a person who was a columnist. And, you know, I don't think anyone will ever really have that job. She's a cooper or something, or someone who makes barrels handmade. Like, that's, you know, it's a thing that's dying out, really, to have a print column. And that's gone now. And now she's kind of in this new world. And I feel about podcasting the way I feel about representation of stand-up in TV or in film. It's kind of used as an exposition, almost to go like, oh, this character feels this way about this situation. Or they've suddenly had an epiphany, you know, on stage or whatever. And it's probably going to be used a lot more within the show. But wouldn't it be great, Deborah, if they brought out a podcast of that, like just one episode of Che's podcast, like have it scripted and have Carrie there and everything.
I mean, I'd love to hear it. And I'd love to hear them actually do it, because I feel it seems like a scripted podcast. Like there's a quality to a real podcast that you can't script. And so when I'm watching it, I'm quite tense, because I'm like, I know all of these lines have been written and rehearsed, and so it can't have the flavour of a podcast.
Could you imagine if someone came up to you in a lift, Deborah, like after you've done a podcast, and told you to step your pussy up? Like,
oh. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back. No. I wouldn't go back. The Netflix taping, which I thought was a bold move for them to evoke Netflix on HBO, but there you are. A taping of her special. Again, it doesn't seem like stand-up. There's very few actual laughs in it. It's a lecture.
Which is just like a Netflix stand-up special, a lot of them anyway.
To be fair, lol. But do you know what I mean? There weren't enough jokes. And it was just like almost like preaching to the choir, and the choir saying hallelujah. And I was like, this doesn't seem like stand-up to me. And it went on for so long.
It went on for so long. And I was watching Miranda's face and I'm like, which part of this are you inspired by? Because you could hear this on your Calm app or whatever. Like, this is a woman who lives in New York and kind of, you know, is in touch with the modern world. And like, nothing that Shay was saying on stage is incredibly profound, you know?
Not at all. It felt to me like she didn't get to, they should have let her write that herself. And I feel like they definitely did not.
Honestly, it felt like they've changed Miranda from a character who's into like being a corporate lawyer and a person who's sure of themselves to a woman who gets inspired by Live, Laugh, Love. Like, it's like the first time that she's seen that sign. I went, you know what? I'm going to do all of that. You're right. You know?
I agree. She used to be such a cynic, Miranda, and that was such a delightful quality. And I'm happy to see her change and open, but it feels like she arrived in this season a totally different person.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How did you feel about Charlotte and the way she handled
Rose? It was so lovely, wasn't it? It was so, so great. Wasn't it lovely that Charlotte reads a book to her child as well? Already you've gone above and beyond, Charlotte. it's gonna be a lovely story to see throughout. I think it's good that they're involving the children. Like, there seems to be a lot of kind of storylines involving, you know, their children, Brady as well, and I'm excited to see how that goes. Charlotte's a good mum. Charlotte's a good person, essentially. I know Charlotte can cry all over you and kind of maybe it's not the right thing at the right time, but the woman has the best intentions. I really think it's going to play out nicely. I can't see it playing out bad. She's such a good person. I can't see that much conflict. I can just see her trying to, it's like Lily and her piano. Like, I feel like with Rose, Charlotte's just going to want the best for her child. And it's kind of, I think it'll be, I'm hoping, maybe I'm just projecting
my hopes, but I hope it's going to be a happy story.
I think it is.
I think it can't not be.
If I were writing it, I think I would have Miranda. I said this last week that I would have Miranda already there. And Miranda would just know all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I would have Miranda help Charlotte through that, because Charlotte would be like, what does she mean? And it would be a bigger disappointment to Charlotte that she didn't have a girly girl, because Charlotte's gender expression is so femme.
Yeah, but Lily is quite femme, isn't she?
Lily is quite femme. But I think I would give Charlotte more of a journey so that perhaps parents at home who are shocked or disappointed or confused might be able to go on that journey with Charlotte. And I would have Miranda already know it and not be stumbling over herself going, I don't understand, like, or being amazed by. I think I would let Charlotte get there a little more. But also there is merit to Charlotte going, yeah, I'm her mum, I love her, I'm down with this. I think there's a lot of merit to that as well.
Yeah.
I also, if I were writing it, this is my fantasy parallel universe.
I love it. Let's hear it.
If I were writing it, I would have that a conversation between Natasha and Carrie when it finally happens is begrudging and short, but satisfactory. Yeah. And I would have ended up with them, like, there was a door open to it where she says, John's a mystery. Well, he always was to me anyway, when Natasha says that. There was a door there. And for me as a writer, I would have gone, oh my God, to me too. He's always a mystery. And I would have had those two women bond in that moment and end up like going for drinks and laughing about, did he do this to you? And did he do that? You know, oh my God. And they would have swapped stories and they would have really bonded, because I've always thought Sex and the City was about female friendship more than it was about sex.
I
would have allowed that door to go right open and to see these two women both grieving in different ways. To really talk about Big and let it all out, and just given them one amazing afternoon of drunken bonding, and then at the end of that say, I guess we shouldn't follow each other on Instagram. No, okay, this is it. Bye-bye.
Yay.
But just let them have go to that full place. And I think that would have been a more interesting scene that we haven't seen before.
It would be great. I don't know. I kind of wanted Natasha to drink the rest of Carrie's coffee. Knew what Carrie had done to her. Do you remember when the last time they probably chatted was when, like, Natasha was going for lunch and Carrie came over to apologise for like, I've rewatched the clips involving Carrie and Natasha. And Carrie was horrible. Can you imagine finding someone in your house to live after shagging your boyfriend? And then, you know, you chase after them down on the stairs and run away from you like a coward. And then come up to you on their terms when you're having lunch and they drink your wine. While talking to you.
Oh, yes, they don't. Can I have a drink of your water? She says, and she just drinks out of her glass. But I think the most arrogant thing is she wore that Dior dress made of, you know, that's got the newspaper print.
Newspapers, yes.
Because it's so ostentatious. And I think if you're going to crash the lunch of a woman whose husband you've shagged and marriage you've ended.
Yes.
Dress understated.
Yes. Carrie kind of, and this is what I like about Carrie in a way. Carrie doesn't dress like a main character. Carrie dresses like an annoying periphery character where people take the mick out of her. Do you know what I mean? Where you're just like, oh, her again. Like, and also she doesn't act like a main character as well. This is a great episode for showing her insecurities around Big and the way that, you know, she follows her heart and she also does stupid things. Like, she just can't help herself. They're not the actions of like an everyman protagonist. She's not an everyman in how she dresses and how she acts. And kind of like this episode was really was getting back to it. Because I think with the first two episodes, she's been quite sensible. You know, she's had to be.
Totally.
Yeah. She's had to put her friends first and then with the funeral and everything. We're kind of seeing the old Carrie now.
I think that's why the show was so successful, because the lead character wasn't in any way an everywoman. I saw another evocation of an earlier episode. Ooh. Stanford turns up for lunch. Charlotte says, oh, I've only reserved for three, i.e. please leave. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I know, Charlotte.
And Stanford says, well, I've talked about you to my therapist. You know, he thinks that you're very threatened by me.
Yes.
And there's this strange, you think I'm not in the core group. This has been boiling for years, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, no, it's just that I got a table for three and I want you to leave. This evokes the episode where Charlotte is, where they're all at Charlotte's dog show. Her dog, Elizabeth Taylor, is running in a show and running around a ring. And Carrie says, oh, I want you all to meet somebody or come to something. Yeah. And Stanford says, oh, great, I'm available. And she goes, oh, sorry, sweetie, this one's just the girls. And I just thought, then don't invite people in front of him. Wait till later.
Yeah.
Or now he said he's available. It was going to be just the girls, but don't uninvite him when he thinks he's been invited. It was so rude. There were points like that where I was like, what are you doing? You would never do that in real life, or that person would be really hurt. And so I felt it was evoking that moment of Stanford's always been this extra person, because there was the four girls and, oh, well, Stanford could come sometimes, or Stanford could come if one of them wasn't free.
Yeah, it's always kind of, Stanford's always in the situation where the other girls can't be there. Like when Carrie was single, where they kind of, it's her and Stanford just smoking cigarettes in a house party. And there's a busboy, and he thinks that the busboy is gay, and he goes up and says to Carrie, will you like see if he'd like to go out with me? Which for me, watching that as a teenager, felt very, very relatable, because that is how we used to court, was through like, you know, using our friend as messengers. And I was like, oh, they do that in New York too? Cool. Like it felt for me the most relatable thing ever. And Carrie went up to the busboy and she said, I have a friend that quite likes you. And the guy looks up and there's two men. There's Stanford and then there's this like, oh, really attractive man who's all muscly and stuff. And the guy goes, yeah, I'm gay. And is it that guy? And she goes, no, it's the guy in the suit. And he's like, well, no, I'm not really interested in him, but if the other guy's interested. And then she goes up to Stanford and she says, he's not gay, honey. And he's like, oh, I thought I knew. And it felt like, it feels like for Stanford that he never really has feelings or anything. Nobody tries to protect his feelings in any way.
Well, she was trying to protect his feelings by saying he wasn't gay, though.
Yeah, but she was kind of giving like a wry smile, as if that, like, it felt like a almost like a comedic kind of like moment. I don't know. Maybe it's because like I'm used to being like, maybe I'm a Stanford, Deborah. Like,
I mean,
being the unattractive friend.
We like, all are. I think at times we all feel like Stanny. Poor Stanford's about to die soon in real life.
What's going to happen there? I'm so sad.
I don't know. But I don't think they can. I think the respectful thing to do is give the character a funeral. But I think they'll think it's too sad to have Big die and then Stanford die.
But where is he going to go? Like, he's not going to leave. What you can look, they already stretching it with Samantha. That's two of her core group gone and her husband dead.
Genuine,
like she's not Job. Like
this is what happens if you bring a show back when people are in their 50s, when you started it when they're in their 30s. This is what happens.
This is the danger. Yeah.
I was doing a fundraiser show this week. It's a really big show called Campus Christmas. Everyone on the bill was LGBTQ+. It was, I believe, the only bill in the world where you could see both Sandy Toksvig and Self-Esteem. It had taken so much time to organize. Tom Allen and I were co-hosting.
Yeah.
And 2 days before, I started getting phone calls. And you know, when you get a phone call and not a text, you know, and it would be someone going, I've got COVID. I started answering the phone like, don't say it. Do not say it. And I was like, right, I'm changing my ringtone to Another One Bites the Dust. Because every time the phone actually rang, I was like, it's somebody crying off. And we ended up having to pull the show.
Sorry,
but we're postponing to March 31st. Campus Christmas will now be Campus Easter.
Beautiful. That's my cousin's birthday. I'll tell him that.
So what's coming next, do we reckon? I think we are going to see Miranda somehow or other leave Steve for Che.
I know.
We are going to see Charlotte and her non-binary child find that new space. We are going to see Carrie hook up with the exciting, sexy producer.
Yes.
Any other predictions?
What else have we got? So Stanford is probably going to die at some point.
Oh, I know. Poor Stanford. Don't laugh.
I'm sorry. There is a part of me that's quite like glib about it. And I'm sure his funeral will be amazing. What other predictions do we have? Like, apart from Charlotte and her relationship with her child, Rose, I wonder what else has come. Like, our marriage is so happy. It's very hard to revisit these characters and to be so at peace with the endings that they got, and we're ignoring the films. You know, that they kind of, it's kind of hard to keep watching them to stay interested, but also want them to be happy.
It's so true.
It's really for this to continue. Well,
stories are about things you wouldn't want to have happen to you. So stories are not about happy things all the time. You know, you can have happy moments in stories, but ultimately they've got to be about things. That's what drama is. But I did think we had some lovely fashion moments in this one. That high Gucci bag, that sort of like across, it was like across her breasts. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I've not seen that before. Mm. And some of the outfits that I saw leaked on Instagram by Paps that didn't look great on Instagram did look great when they were on television. High-waisted gingham skirt. They're going to bring very long skirts back in, I think, because they think it works really well on these characters. These long flowing skirts, everyone's wearing long flowing skirts. So I predict next year, all fashion is going to be about long flowing skirts.
I don't know. I've bought some long flowing skirts out of Marks and Spencer's and it is for older women. Like, you know, I have seen people in their 80s wear these skirts. And there was a part of me that I can pull it off. I cannot pull it off. I mean, they got pockets.
I believe you can pull it off. I believe you can. I believe it's all about confidence. If Carrie can pull off a chambré shirt with a summer dress over the top, then you can pull off a long flowing skirt.
Carrie can pull off anything. Carrie was like cosplaying as Robin Hood in the first episode.
Carrie really can pull off anything. Well, I look forward to seeing the next episode. I feel this was a real return to form in terms of Carrie being neurotic and calling her friends and stalking people. It really reminded me of her being paranoid about Aiden and big in the past. And I enjoyed this episode Natasha much more than one or two. I don't know if you saw that Chris Noth was Me Too'd, and by two women 10 years apart who both independently wrote to The Hollywood Reporter and don't know each other, and the story is strikingly similar and very violent and horrible.
And it's Peloton not a, like, pulled don't look Chris Noth out. It says sexual assault, and like if you read it, it's like it's very, very high on the scale of sexual assault. So
you don't be careful have to, when reading it, that content warning. It's really terrible. Yeah. So I can only think that the creators of And Just Like That must be quite pleased they killed him off, because otherwise they'd have a political situation at the moment.
I bet Peloton are upset that after spending all that money to get him in another advert,
they pulled the ad.
Have they pulled it?
Yeah, they pulled the ad. Yeah. Alison, have you got anything to plug?
I got Wheel of Misfortune podcast and the Alison Spittle podcast. I did have gigs, but so at the moment I still have podcasts. Go listen to the Wheel of Misfortune on BBC Sounds. And I do co-video party, which is a watch-along film club. And this Sunday at 8 o'clock, it's looking like we're probably going to watch Love Actually. There's still a vote out, but it's looking that way, which will be fun. You can tweet along to it.
Amazing. What I'm going to plug is that I've cancelled everything. Campus Christmas is moved to the 31st of March. If you have bought a ticket, please don't ask for a refund unless you really need one, because the money is going to two incredible charities. And on Sunday, I'm not going to be at the Cheese Love store, but I'm going to try and do an Instagram live with Lena Headey instead for Cheese Love. And on Monday, I'm not going to do my stand-up show at the Etc. Theatre because of not wanting to spread COVID. So please watch out on my socials to see what I am doing. But Alison and I are coming to Dublin on the 14th of March, where we are going to be playing Vicar Street, which is so exciting. And The Guilty Feminist is touring the UK with a series of very exciting live shows. Those things make great Christmas presents. And we are touring Australia and New Zealand. So please come along to Guilty Feminist shows everywhere. Alison will be at some of the UK ones, but she'll definitely be with me at Vicar Street. So get tickets now for all of those events at guiltyfeminist.com. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist Watchers and Just Like That with me, Deborah Frances White, and my very special guest, Alison Spittle. The producer for The Spontaneity Shop was Tom Selinsky. The Guilty Feminist is part of the Acast Creator Network, and Just Like That is on HBO Max in the United States and Sky Comedy in the UK. Join us next time for episode 4 of Some of My Best Friends.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.